Oh, the workplace.
Yes, it is. Quite a place, isn't
it? When you log in on our computers here,
yeah,
it says there is no right to privacy on this system.
Oh.
Every single day, pretty much everybody who works, who logs into their employer's computer system, they commit a fireable offense.
Ah.
Hmm.
Personal stuff,
yeah.
You mean.
I mean, I don't mean the smutty stuff. I mean, just,
yeah,
you know, make a reservation, check out a website. It's in violation.
Oh, yeah, sending to-do lists to people, you know,
yeah,
things
right,
like that. Yeah, you can't do that, you know.
We're going in two directions about the workplace this morning. One, we'll get to later about emails. Did you know that the average person in the workforce gets 304 emails a week? 300 a week. Some get a lot more than that. Some get less. 36 times an hour is the average when people check their emails. We'll go in that direction a little later. I want to talk to you about something that you may see when you log in your place of work. For example, in ours, we walk into the office. Before we log in, it says on there, there is no right to privacy on this system. Welcome and have a nice day. So what are the rules that employers can impose? And for that, we're talking to Walter Rilkoff this morning. Mr. Rilkoff is an employment lawyer at Lawson Lundell here in Vancouver, and he's on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What does this no right to privacy mean?
Well, generally it means if you're on the employer's equipment, which is what you referred to in your introduction, that the employer has the right to look at emails you send and receive on the company, you know, on your company computer, on the company system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the employers sort of say, generally say you don't have the right. There's a limited right. The Supreme Court of Canada has essentially staked out and said if the employer allows you even a limited use, that there's still a point at which the employer can't entirely interfere. There's a private sphere that without very good reason an employer can't go.
But
and it may simply be if you're, you know, sending your significant other an email saying pick up milk on the way home, that notwithstanding what you're getting on the computer at the beginning of the day may not be subject to inspection, if you like, by the employer.
But for example, Walter, I not long ago I went on the Nikon website to look at the price of a camera, and I did it during my working time. Is that a violation?
Well, it may be. I mean, if your employer says, look, you know, this employer is, or this computer is strictly for business purposes, and it's not to be used for, you know, surfing the web, then, yeah, that is a violation of your terms of employment. Now, the other part of that tends to be is, does your employer enforce that?
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the problems and what keeps people like me busy is the fact that, you know, we'll often draft these wonderful rules for employers and then employers don't enforce them.
Well, I'm going to get you to hang on with that thought, because enforcement is something that we need to clarify, and we'll do that. We'll keep Walter Rilkoff with us from the company Lawson Lundell. We'll continue this discussion because it affects absolutely everybody who's in the workforce. 6:19, we're talking about the workplace this morning. When we come into work here at the radio station, just before we log in, our screens tell us there is no right to privacy on this system. So if you do private stuff, and I'm not talking about going to smutty websites, I'm talking about everyday things. Like I went onto the Nikon website to check out the price of a camera. You're breaking the company's rules. Walter Rilkoff is an employment lawyer. He's with Lawson Lundell here in Vancouver, and he's with us this morning. Walter, you touched on a word, a very important word, about enforcement. There are rules, but I don't think my employer would enforce this rule by me going on a Nikon website. When are you in a danger zone?
Well, you mentioned the smutty websites. You're clearly in a danger zone there. You're in a danger zone if you're, if it's excessive, if it's interfering with, you know, what you're employed to do. So if you're supposed to be on air, and instead, you know, your producer is having to, fill dead airtime because you're checking out Nikon camera prices.
Right.
I suspect you'll be in trouble.
Right, right. Now, how does an employer enforce? Do they, you know, peek into your what you've been doing on a regular basis?
Well, generally, there's sort of, you know, there are privacy laws that limit the extent to when an employer can go in. I mean, generally an employer has to have a reason to go in. So there's a complaint from another employee that you're sending them, you know, smutty pictures. There's a concern that you're revealing company secrets, or there's simply, you know, there are cases where employees have spent, you know, forever, I mean, the better part of their workday, surfing the net.
One other thing, Walter, this morning, and I want to know where the workday ends and playtime begins, because if you get home and you've got two or three emails waiting for you from your employer, are you obliged to respond to those emails at home, or can it wait till the next day?
Would depend what it is. I mean, the issue would become, in a lot of cases, certainly under the Employment Standards Act, if, you know, this is an ongoing thing where it becomes part of your workday, you'd certainly be entitled to ask to be paid for that.
But you could also, I mean, you could also create some pretty bad atmosphere if you don't respond to these emails.
That's always the delicate balance. You know, is it being abused? And if it's, I mean, if an employer is not abusing it, you know, generally, you know, it's not going to be an issue. It's usually an issue when the relationship's falling apart for all sorts of other reasons.
All right. Walter, appreciate it very much. Thank you, sir. Walter Rilkoff, employment lawyer at Lawson Lundell, CKNW. And we'll have a lot more about this, because then we're going to get into very different turf in the workplace coming up here on the CKNW Morning News.
Yeah, but I've been a working man.
6:49. Look, we all do it. We all know we do it. The three of us in this room right now, we've all committed fireable offenses. I went online to look at Nikon, price of cameras. Devin's been looking at wedding dresses. And Gregory, he's been listening to something on YouTube that had absolutely nothing to do with his place of work. In other words, we're being paid not to look at wedding dresses, cameras, and listen to stuff. We're being paid to work, but we all do it. So where's the line? Christian Codrington is with us. He's with the BC Human Resources Management Association. Christian, pick up on this, if you would. I mean, where does the line come when you've crossed it?
That's a tough question to answer. That depends on each organization. I know many organizations are looking for people to spend a little more time on the internet, for example, help flourish some creativity while at work. And many of us need a bit of a mental break, if you will, from some of our tasks. However, when those numbers start to exceed, 15, 20, 30 minutes at a time per day, you are getting paid to work, and that's what we have to keep coming back to.
And that 15 or 20 or more minutes a day is not, I mean, that's common.
It tends to add up, and it is common for many of them, yeah.
And the other thing, a great bit of advice that you gave us in a note that you sent, you said if you must do internet surfing while either at work or on a company-issued computer, limit it to websites that you wouldn't mind being seen on if your boss was looking over your shoulder.
Well, and that's the key. At the end of the day, you're still at work, and you are representing the company. So many companies can track your activity. Some do, some don't. But you don't want to surprise your employer. You don't want to be being caught in a situation where you have to explain why you're doing something you're doing.
If you go on Twitter, if you go on Facebook, if you go on social media and you send messages or do whatever it is you do on there, Is that your private business or is that your employer's business?
Well, again, keep in mind that there's no real clean line on that. You may have a personal account, say on Twitter, but if the majority of your followers are following you because of your affiliation with your employer, or you comment on something work-related, that fine line has now become really blurred. Like, for example, Roberto Luongo, at this with this character he's got, Strombone One.
Yeah.
I mean, people are following him to hear Roberto's comments. He represents the Canucks at times. So he must be very cognizant of that, even though it's some mystery identity out there. To a certain degree, many of us are encouraged to bring our personal views, but many of us, like you or I, might not be wanting to represent our employer while we're talking about our personal activities on the weekend.
Good points, and we appreciate your time this morning. Christian Codrington of the BC Human Resources Management Association.